Yeah, good times. Let me get some more water, and then we can just keep rolling.
Walter.
We'll do the two newer ones.
Walter.
Walter, please.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, we've got Zach and Ian. Hi, I'm Ian.
I'm Ian.
Which one is really me?
I often
wonder that. Like, if people are in communication with me about the podcast, they're like, which one is you?
Which one are you, man?
Who is the one spouting all the racism? Or who's the one spouting?
Are you the jerk or are you Zach? I'm always like, oh, I'm both.
Are you Zach or are you the sexy one? That's what I usually get.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then I always write, send me pics, P-I-X.
If I was listening to just our voices, I would think you looked like a Muppet.
That's actually pretty accurate. Yeah.
Hey, this is Ian. I'm here from,
how are you doing, folks? I should get into cartoon voices.
Something about watching Night and Day recently and liking it, and I mentioned something about watching From Paris with Love and finding it one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life. But it was enjoyable. I'd actually rather watch that again than Night and Day.
So Night and Day and Paris with Love, huh?
Yeah, Night and Day was.
It looked terrible.
It had some okay stuff in it, and Tom Cruise is always charismatic, and you like watching him act.
Always feel like he's doing that, though, right?
You do, but. My problem is always his chemistry with people. I felt like the last film I saw him in that he had a real chemistry with a woman in was Last Samurai. Night and Day with Cameron Diaz, at the end it's like, it weirded me out because he's like kind of chasing her in the first half and like, you can tell he likes her and he's protecting her and she's all, whoa, 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 like this is so crazy. Oh, you need that? I'll get it down for you. And then in the second half, like she's doing stuff to help him.
Yeah.
I almost got it. Good job.
He wins the day.
There you go. Oh, you're up. There you go. Good job. And then in the second half, every smile he gives her when she's like, oh, I saved you, like, oh, I'm taking you to Bermuda or whatever, every smile he gives her is, like, really forced. Like, it's almost like...
Like, when you...
Now that you like me, I don't know if I'm that into you. And, like, that would be cool if I could do that on
really
purpose.
Cool. Yeah.
But it's not like that at all. It's just like, you know... So that
because I mean, that's true.
Because it was relatively, and you know, there's Sarsgaard in it and stuff like that. Sarsgaard's always great.
Sarsgaard.
It's got Paul Dano in a role that took about like 5 minutes of screen time total. But yeah, he's like third build or something.
Oh wow! So Night and Day. I don't think I'll bother with it.
It's worth seeing. I mean, it's a throwaway film, but I like ones like that. And then From Paris with Love is directed by. What's his name? Morel. The guy who did Taken.
Is it Jacques or something? He's French, right?
Pierre, something like
that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a Luc Besson thing.
Yeah,
it's one of the Luc Besson...
French films.
From the Luc Besson machine.
The cannon, yes.
It's from the machine.
But he's got like a cannon, though, that he fires his...
I'm pretty sure he just has a factory where they're filming. I don't think they film outside the factory.
Oh.
And it is so over-the-top psycho. Like...
Once more, Paris is the absolute scuzzy place.
Exactly,
of the world,
right? And which is funny because like these are Parisian people making these films.
Well, maybe that's how they feel,
and they're pro American ostensibly. And I kind of think the more that I've seen of these, that he's just kind of making a joke.
Yeah, of course,
the Americans are so over the top, crazy, like brutal killers in all cases. That even though they're fighting scum, they're like brutally massacring the scum.
Oh yeah,
the John Travolta character is phenomenal. He's just crazy. You never know his motivation. He's just there saying hilarious stuff and brutally.
But what is he? Is he CIA? What's his deal?
Sure. Yeah, I think he's CIA. Like, it's right. You know, this movie is Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who should not be playing American, by the way.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a good actor. Yeah. I think his role in Match Point was really good.
I thought
Match Point was a great film, and he had a lot to do with that because he seems like vacuous. Like he seems like a sociopath.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He really does. Him and Cillian Murphy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think Cillian Murphy's a better actor. But Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is like, yeah, he's got that. But in this, he's like this guy. He's a very low-level CIA guy, but his cover job is he works at the U.S. Embassy and works for some guy, you know, some ambassador, and does, you know some dumb stuff. And his CIA job is he gets called every once in a while to go downstairs and flip license plates on cars.
Oh.
And so he does that. He looks around. Then he goes and sits in his car and waits for the guys because he wants to see what they look like, and they're always looking around, and they get in the car and drive away.
So they're the field agents.
And then
he sighs
and goes, ugh.
I just want to be a field agent.
So then he goes home to his hot, incredibly hot girlfriend, and you know they have their gross little fake relationship, and
it sickens you.
And then finally he gets the call, like, you know, we need you to, it's finally time to move you up. We had an emergency, and you're gonna have to be the guy who kind of partners up with our agent coming in.
Yeah.
And he's just off, like, from the start, he's just insane and murderous. And, like,
you're with Travolta now?
With Travolta.
Yeah.
Throwing out, like, crazy F-bombs and he imported his own gun because he loves it so much.
Uh-huh.
And he did it in, like, fake cans of energy drink. and so he spends forever there, like, telling the guy why he needs the energy drink. And the guy's like, I'm telling you, this energy drink is not getting into this country. Like, you know, it's... And so finally, Rhys-Meyers, like, slaps something on it that says diplomatic mail.
Uh-huh.
And that just, you know, that excites Travolta to no end. And he does a lot of hip thrust toward the guy, like, F you for not letting me get...
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that's dumb. I'm stopping on stupid stuff. But eventually, I mean, it ends up being this, like, terrorist plot thing with, like, vaguely Islamic, like, Palestinian. But, like... Travolta murders, like, young women, like...
Oh, wow.
Like, all in the name of, you know...
Freedom.
Safety and freedom.
Red, white,
but, like, at one point, like, this young, hot girl, like, who they're having dinner with, like...
Uh-huh.
She gets a phone call, and she's like, Rose? No, I'm sorry, there's no one here by that name. And Travolta kind of laughs and looks at Rhys-Meyers and goes, that's the call we were waiting for. And then he pulls out a gun and blows her brains out. Like,
that's awesome.
Like, yeah.
You just sold me on this movie.
It's pretty funny to watch. Like, and it's got some, you know...
Is Julian Assange in it?
No.
Oh, okay. No. That'll be the next one?
No. Yeah, there was no one who looked even close to him. It was essentially...
But the last time he was in a movie was in that James Bond movie played by Christopher Walken, right?
I always think that he... even when I hear his name, I think of Julian Sands. Because Julian Sands
you think
used
of
to
warlock,
have hair
huh?
kind of like
you
his.
You think of Warlock.
Yeah.
I think he's flying around with bad
green
screen.
I think of his hair.
Nice.
But the only three characters that are even like vaguely white in the film are like the ambassador... Everyone else is like just
purely
totally,
xenophobic,
totally
then, huh?
Palestinian.
Oh my god!
Like that's one thing he's done is like, well, we'll load up Taken with like Armenian child kidnappers, and then we'll load up this one with basically, I mean, Paris is full of scum, but I think the bottom line is it's not white scum.
Okay, yeah.
Like exactly. I think maybe Luc Besson is maybe the most xenophobic of all. You know, who knows?
I guess.
Make sure you have no bad guys who are close to white, please.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, Rhys-Meyers learns an important lesson at the end.
Sometimes you got to kill people, yeah.
And, exactly, that sort of thing. And it's really fast moving. They throw in the stupid Royale with cheese thing
nice.
Just to give a nod to
Pulp Fiction.
Whatever, you know. But, you know, this was right after, like, Carrie Fisher gave confirmation that John Travolta is, in fact, totally gay. So I had kind of trouble watching it, like, thinking, like, this guy. I mean,
how would Carrie Fisher have confirmation? What movie were they in together?
Well, first of all, everyone in Hollywood knows everything.
Okay,
they just don't ever talk about it to the press.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher doesn't give a crap. So if someone asked her something, she's like, John Travolta's totally gay. Like, he's giving BJs to guys. And, like, she's just like, she was like, oh, yeah. And so that, like, came out like that was big news, you know.
Because all these people just hang out in the same big room somewhere all the time?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Luke was just up here, you know, like, for Christmas. And he's just always like we're talking about something and Zac Efron comes up and he mentions that he's like 100% completely gay and like he's had a couple of like really hot girlfriends and you kind of think maybe like guys who kind of look like they may be gay because they're like such pretty boys in many cases probably aren't because that would just be too you know too perfect for them to actually be gay but then he's like
why
no he's actually gay I mean, the thing is, I mean, he's getting this information from people who know people who know people, so who knows how realistic his, you know, stuff.
It almost seems like there's some kind of a weird, and it's unfortunate that things like that are used that way to sabotage careers or push agendas, you know what I mean?
Well, what's dumb is that careers are sabotaged by the fact that, I mean, first of all, they're actors, they're playing characters, exactly. So why should they? I mean, Rupert Everett has always said that he regrets having come out, because it really killed his film career.
Mm.
And he was great. I like Rupert Everett a lot. I think he's awesome. Cemetery Man is a really funny,
that's
like,
a weird
film.
Movie. I've seen part of it.
He's great in a lot of stuff, and he doesn't have to be playing a gay guy, you know? Yeah. Like, he can just do whatever, and I thought he was good. He had a good look.
He could also play a wizard.
He could play a wizard. Absolutely.
You see, the thing is, you're a different character, and you're supposed to pretend. You read the words, and then you pretend.
When I go home, I am not a wizard.
No. that is funny. That adds an extra level to that scene in Extras, too. Yeah, they're just people that are pretending. But there is this sort of bizarre obsession with people's lifestyles outside of that, and wanting.
I think you should be eating this.
Characters to be who they are, who they pretend to be, or whatever. Or actors to be the characters that they primarily are, or something. I don't know. It's too bad.
Anyway, Paris with Love was. It was really dumb.
Top notch, huh?
But if I'm going to see one of those two again, it's going to be that one.
Ah. That sounds like
you?
The one to
what
see.
What dumb stuff have you watched lately?
Dumb stuff. I don't know if it's dumb. It might be dumb. I might be wasting my time here, but I got talked into watching getting into a new TV show that's not new. I'm watching Fringe now.
I've seen you post
like
a lot on Fringe.
It's like The X-Files, but here's my biggest, the reason why I wasn't going to start watching it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I don't know. That might happen later on. The biggest reason I wasn't originally going to watch it was Abrams' name was on it. This was back when he had pretty much started, disappeared from Lost, and was just doing movies, and I'm like, really? He's just going to do the pilot, slap his name on it forever, and walk away? And so far, in like the first 10 episodes, he's had his name on the credited for writing. I don't know how much that means, but he's actually had that part credited for like 5 or 6 of them. So he's at least somewhat invested in the first bit of it.
I hate Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, I don't mind him as much as everybody else. I didn't watch The Creek, so I don't have that, like...
you watched Mighty Ducks
prejudice going on? The first
That's
one,
where your hate of him starts.
Years ago.
Your hate of him starts
I actually don't mind him. I think his character could be more interesting. The Regent of Gondor is pretty solid as, like, some kind of a half bat shit scientist. The chick is kind of could get more interesting, but...
But you said she's hot.
She's hot, yeah, I think she's hot. I'll do that. So, I don't know, I'm like 10 or so episodes in, and the problem is it's network. I'm going to use the term network now whenever I talk about TV to be derogatory about TV. It's network, so it has to have more...
I liked Kings, but it was a little too network.
Exactly. If Kings weren't network, if it were HBO, it probably would have been good. It could have, because it would have been fewer episodes.
What about Leverage?
If Leverage
was on network, would you not watch it anymore?
I haven't watched it. It's about Hitmen, though. It could be.
You know,
be
you're going to watch Leverage eventually.
I don't know. Timothy Hutton's solid, but the rest of it just looks. It looks like, why bother? But anyway, the reason I mainly got decided to start watching, I had been thinking about it for a while, is that it's in its third season, and there's more like talk about how it's gotten good. So,
yeah, it's been getting a lot of...
I think AV Club put it on, like, their top something of the year shows and stuff. And
yeah,
so,
TV Guide had a thing recently where they talked about, like, how it was suddenly steamrolling into, like, people were enjoying it for, like, the first time.
So, yeah, so I'll plow
through... Surprising that Fox, of all channels, let a show go for that long before it really started gaining
steam. Well, that's the thing. It's very network now because in the first, like, 4 episodes, they repeat the shit out of stuff. Like, they repeat that the scientist was... in a mental institution for 17 years, in case you didn't get it in the first episode, or you didn't get it 10 minutes earlier in this episode, you know? They repeat a lot of things. The main female character says her name, I'm Agent Olivia Dunham, about 40 times per episode. There's just a lot of really dumbed-down network-type stuff in it, and a little bit of over-exposition... you know, it's just that stuff you get where you can tell that they AV'd it or that they RD'd it or what is it, like, AR'd it?
Right.
I'm getting it completely wrong. ADR'd it.
ADR.
It's all 3 letters. That they did ADR, and that kills me, the ADR work. It just, it takes me right out. Some of the visual effects, it's TV level CG. And so it shouldn't matter, but like almost every episode has some kind of similar trope at the beginning where it has to have some kind of gross out element where someone's head explodes or someone cries blood or everyone's bodies melt or something like in this. It's like shaky, shaky, ah. And then the opening titles are just cheesy because it's like, oh, it just flashes words for like buzzwords for sci-fi garbage, like, ooh, teleportation and nanomachines and blah. It really wants to be very stupid. And so if it gets better, I don't know. Does that mean that the viewership is decreased? Maybe. Maybe it's going to get canceled when it finally starts to get better. But the first few episodes just haven't really... I don't know.
I think its ratings have gone up is one of the reasons people are talking about it.
Hopefully, yeah. But you know how that works. Sometimes the people that are going to talk about that stuff start talking about it because it gets good, but then that can correlate inversely with whether it's consumable, you know? If you can't just jump in, then no one will jump
in. Speaking of TV, a little insider information. Luke's girlfriend, Lauren, who's
the editor
on Justified, says...
Well, I thought she'd walked away from it to do something else.
No, she is... Well, she's going to go to law school, but she's not going to start until after she's done with the season.
Season two?
She said she's watched the whole thing now. But
season two starts in February.
Yeah.
Looking forward to
that. She said it's great. Like, it gets really good, so...
Yeah, I enjoyed the first season because it was different enough genre-wise. Definitely not a network show. But yeah, there's just so many like two shows I really was liking got canceled this season. They got full runs, they got full 13s, but they were both like pretty enjoyable shows. I mean, I can live without them, you know.
What?
Well, Rubicon I was really liking, but I knew it was just such a strange show that it was a total niche, like bizarre. And then Terriers was fun. It was good.
Yeah, everyone seems to be.
It was the sort of thing. The thing about it was that. Like, so there's an episode, so the guy's a recovering alcoholic, and you keep waiting for the other shoe to drop on that, right?
Always.
The one episode where you think it's going to happen because his ex-wife is getting married to this guy, and he ends up going to the hotel where that's happening, and you think, oh my gosh, you can see it a mile coming, like, it's going to be this kind of episode, roll my eyes, whatever. You know, he goes to the bar, and he orders a drink, you know, because he had to be there for something.
While.
He looks
he
at it for a
split.
No, he doesn't even look at it. Like, the guy comes to set the drink down, and he's in the bathroom washing his face. And then some criminal guy that he's had interactions with from before comes in. And, he's in the stall. Or, you know, it works out in such a way that he doesn't know that he's there. And then it completely becomes, like, a much more interesting episode.
Right.
And it doesn't do that, so it kind of, you know, skewers you there. And I think the performances were good. And it was a detective show. Like I said, detective stuff I like. I like detective stuff. And it had room. I wouldn't
is
say
CSI Miami still on. You still watch that, right?
That's procedural. Like that's network bullshit, man.
But it's got.
No, it's got sexy. It's got sexy people and like
and Caruso.
Terrible visual like motifs and stuff.
I mean, you know what happens in every episode where
he takes the sunglasses off and says something,
and he says something hilarious, and then it goes yeah,
down
the guitar, and it goes into
CSI
the song
Miami. Yeah,
yeah.
And each CSI has a different Who song, right?
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
But. I was listening to the Jim Rome show the other day, and Jay Moore hosts every time.
Yeah.
He's not, and he does
his voices, right?
He does his voices, but the best one he does is the David Caruso, because they, for some reason, they were talking. What they do in the Jim Rome show is they start talking about really dumb stuff, and then it just becomes funny because they just won't shut up about
dumb
stuff. And for some reason, somebody brought up a falcon, like the bird, the falcon, not the football team.
Yeah.
And not like that. And then he. Not like that. Yeah, that's a cow. And then. For some reason, somebody brought up CSI Miami, and then suddenly he goes in the perfect voice, and he goes, "You see, the thing about Julia was, she wasn't Falcon around." And then it goes, "Yeah!" And it's a thing, and it starts playing the music, and you can just imagine him pulling off.
Oh my gosh!
And then they say he just started doing CSI voices and like just saying that with things and playing the music, and like the funniest clip I ever saw on YouTube was like 6 minutes of those beginnings, of him saying things and taking off his glasses, and the music coming in. Because it's like the most over-the-top opening music, too. That's what adds to it.
But it's dumb. I mean, I
wouldn't actually watch a show.
I've
seen one or two episodes of
it. I've seen
CSI
bits of people. The only CSI I've seen all of was the Quentin Tarantino one where the guy got buried alive. And even that wasn't very good.
Have you seen any NCIS? Or what about
NCIS
Los Angeles?
That's the one with Mark Harriman. And then
what about NCIS Los Angeles?
That's got LL Cool J, right?
Yeah, and?
Robin. Yeah.
Robinson.
Yeah.
So you've seen that. How's that?
I know of all these and I don't watch them.
What about NICS? or ICSN.
Isn't NCSI?
NCIS.
What about CSI? FDIC?
FDIC.
Have they got a show for that yet?
SDII.
No, the only CBS show I've enjoyed in the last 2 years was David Mamet and Sean Ryan's The Unit.
Right.
And that got canceled.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I still need to check that out.
I would tell you no, because it gets canceled when it starts getting into some pretty cool stuff, and it's almost like not worth it. Okay. I'm trying to think if you watch the first three seasons, you could just walk away. No,
just
I think
walk
it's,
away.
Well, no, I think it's just I don't know.
Just walk away.
It felt like it got like maybe a cliffhanger in season four, and that was how it ended. I don't know, something like that. But it had a handful of pretty solid, pretty enjoyable episodes, and it was well made. Probably a show it shouldn't have been network. I don't know. It lasted for a while.
So if it had been on TNT, it'd be fine.
Oh, maybe if that would have been a good FX.
Because I mean, you realize Leverage is still on the air, right?
Leverage is still on the air, and I don't think I watch any TNT shows. I watch US. The only USA show I watch is Burn Notice, which I will up and down say I enjoy because it's actually good. If you like MacGyver, The A-Team, or The Equalizer, you will like Burn Notice.
I don't actually like any of those shows except for MacGyver.
Yeah, but you like MacGyver.
But you know what? I tried watching MacGyver once recently, and I couldn't do it.
Well, then there you go. I mean, like I said, it's pretty consumable as a show. It's like, watch it while you're eating lunch, and who cares, you know? What are other dumb stuff I've been... Okay, so yeah, so Fringe, I think part of what allows you to get into certain shows like that is if you can just get like a whole season of it and just marathon through it, so you just kind of keep going, you keep, stay on roll, because like there's little hints. I did that with The Wire too, where I would just kind of get kind of bored with it in the middle of an episode, but then by the end it would kind of start to suck you back in, and then you'd be like, okay, I'll watch another one, and you know, eventually it gets going, it gets some momentum, and you're into it. So hopefully that'll happen with Fringe. I'll give it well, I'll probably give it the first full season, and then into the second season, if they really start going with a more consistent pattern, and if they stop being so talking down to the audience.
How's Bones these days?
Don't watch that. I really like. Sometimes I wish I could watch some of those shows, but I physically like can't.
How was the first season of Castle?
I watched a couple of those. I actually liked it. It's Nathan Fillion, you know, I like him.
How's Human Target?
I've been wanting to check that one out because it's got Keen Eddie, and I like Keen Eddie with what's her name?
Keen Eddie.
It had what's her name before she was big.
Boy, I'm Keen Eddie.
Yeah, he wasn't British. He was English. Yeah. Or no, he was American.
That's English,
he was
right?
The American in England.
Boy, I'm Keen Eddie.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Did you ever watch the BBC version of the original version of
How's White Collar?
Life on Mars. White Collar. I never got into White Collar.
One of
collar.
Them wears a fedora.
Really?
The other one is always angry at him.
Yes. That's a yeah, USA, don't care. Could never get into to Psych.
Teeth is funny.
I probably
Monk is probably a better show because they tended they both deal with like crimes like that, but Psych is like just two really goofy guys who are like having.
It seems like it could be like
it's pretty funny. Like
fun.
The stuff their conversations are like really funny, and like they're usually arguing about dumb stuff like WrestleMania or Nintendo while things are happening. Like they're children.
Man.
They're children in like 30-year-old bodies.
That's rough because I could see enjoying like 30% of that show, but then still having some.
No, it's good.
Catalog.
And the Corbin Burnson stuff is really great too. Like it's I think it's actually a show you'd like if you like Burn Notice of all things.
I could check it out when I'm in the and it's detective too. So
yeah, it's all detective stuff, and you know he actually is like brilliant in one.
Well, that's
aspect,
the whole thing. It's like it's that he's not he pretends to be psychic because he can't get to become a cop, but his dad was
a cop.
And his dad
he wants
taught
him to be nothing like his dad.
Taught him
but
all the stuff.
But he just has
things.
Phenomenal observational skills.
And then Dulé Hill from West Wing is in it.
And he's good.
Kind of
I like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, I like him too. That's why I think I would like the show. Damn, too many shows. Too many shows and too many comic books. Heaven forbid I ever read like literature or watch like a proper film.
What's a proper film?
I don't know. It usually doesn't play in a megaplex unless.
Oh come on!
I don't know. You know,
that's,
it's like,
that's
like seriously,
really pompous.
That's pompous, but that's true. It's called a proper film for a reason.
So you're
right?
Saying because you haven't seen Winter's Bone, you haven't seen the
or I haven't seen the White Ribbon or some shit like that. You know. So yeah, don't forget You guys can check us out. Assuming if you're listening to us, you either downloaded us directly from graniteseed.com/futilepodcast, or you're subscribing through iTunes or some other kind of pod feed catching thing of device, which is definitely worth doing. You can always go ahead and follow, email us, futilepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm just Ian Strope. I think that'll find
no,
me.
No, you're at Ian Strope.
Oh, that's right. I forget about the at.
Hey, what does the pound sign before stuff mean?
I think that means, like, that's a trending topic or something. So it's like if you, like, wrote pound Pepsi, then I don't really know. It's really stupid. It's really
I
don't know.
Annoying. I see people post stuff on Facebook.
I hate it whenever I say something with a word that ends up being a buzzword, and then, like, I get an email that says, like, so-and-so's following me because I said comic book, and that's now it's like... comic book like garage sale guy 64 is following you, right. And I'm like, great, how about another thing that doesn't mean anything on the internet?
Comic book garage sale guy is one of my favorite people.
I'm sure. You can also join the Facebook group Futile Podcast Listeners for Serious. It's a serious place where serious people go to have serious discussions about films. So yeah, that's another one in the dustbin.
You should get a booth at Comic-Con.
I think I'm going to do that. Maybe get a booth at WonderCon or something.
Yeah. People can come up to you and be like, what is this?
People, you know.
What is this?
You get associated with another group that's pre-existing on the internet, and then you just show up. Like, that's my thing. I'm just going to start showing up.
And then people are going to think you're somebody. And then suddenly you'll be somebody.
If I show up
and then
like,
the hood rats start pouring.
If I show up looking the way I can look when I feel like I want to be somebody, then yeah. Then hood rats.
I don't know what that means.
And money.
Does that mean like, that means the Indiana Jones hat, right?
No. You mean the fedora? No. I think it means I comb my hair.
We called the dog Indiana. that'll be the quote on your card when you go to people.
Here.
We call the dog Indiana.
It'll say it. It'll be an open card. It's got an electronic thing in it.
And you'll be doing your Sean Connery.
My Sean Connery costume. Yeah. I wrote it down so I wouldn't have to remember it. Okay.